Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a look at week 4 of the June 2015 celestial timings. And this week is amazing. There's several things going on. We've got a planetary station, well, actually an asteroid Chiron station in retrograde this week. We've got the latest sunset of the year. We've got closest Venus Jupiter conjunction happening June 30th and July 1st, so kind of going to spill over into the next month. So some really wonderful aspects that are taking place, and we begin the week on Monday, June 22nd, and Jupiter is going to be exactly trine Uranus. Now, there was a time in March when they were exactly trine, and I think there was a time last year as well, so this might be the third trine. It's definitely the second exact trine. And so if we think about Jupiter as the principle of expansion, Jupiter in Leo is about expanding self-love. We think about Uranus as the great awakener, the revolutionary, the one that brings change for evolutionary purposes, coming together, and that's in Aries. And so Aries is about taking committed action, something that's inspired, that will help bring our intentions and our gifts into some kind of fruition, at some kind of active expression, some kind of manifest expression. So this is a powerful way to begin this week, and the opportunity to really take inspired, committed action toward truly loving who you are, loving yourself so that you can bring the gifts that you have and feel the wonder and the fulfillment of that experience as you bring those gifts into fruition, into some sort of manifest form. So maybe making a commitment to taking action that helps to further that experience of self-love. Just something to contemplate and think about, and just also to know that whenever you make an intention, especially within the planetary alignment like this, it's a powerful seed point. It's a powerful activation point. It is a powerful, creates a wave, you know, that you can ride, or you're riding on that wave of energy that is available at the time. You may not see instant results, but if you continue to follow through with that commitment, you will definitely see results. So if you find yourself in a place of judgment, or a place of not feeling in alignment with the intention, you just want to bring yourself back to that, feel it as much as possible, and shift your thinking so that if you have some ways of practicing things that will help bring you back into a place of gratitude and appreciation for yourself rather than being in judgment. So it's something just to keep in mind, and finding the practices that work for you, because there are, of course, many practices. And I did put a link in the written version of the timings. I think it's earlier in the month that talks about 17 ways you can love yourself. So just to know, too, just to keep this in mind, is that we don't have to do something that is, you know, on a massive scale to change people's lives. Maybe we're doing it in our own little way. Maybe it's just being a point of light within our own self, where we bring love and light into the world. And the more people that come together to bring love and light, and maybe and just to act from that place of love and light, and to energize that. And I really feel like Jupiter and Uranus are coming together and committed to that process in this trine that's happening, that will be really felt through most of the month, because they're pretty close together for the most of the month in the trine position, but very much exact on June 22nd. So the more people we have doing that, it increases the love and light on the planet exponentially, and it can create a massive shift in consciousness, a massive shift in our experience of this reality. So the more we can bring that into our own lives, we are benefiting the Earth in ways we can't even necessarily imagine or know fully until, of course, we would have that massive shift. So in my transcendental meditation days, we talked about how we got 1% of the population of the planet, meditating and moving into coherent brain waves and, you know, places of, in a way, we could say, more harmonious vibration of love and light, then it would create a shift, and we would have the dawning of a new age, a dawning of a new way of being with each other. So the more we can do that within ourselves, and we can use these planetary alignments to help support and magnify those intentions, it's a wonderful thing. On June 23rd, Mercury is making its third exact square to Neptune. It did so right before it went retrograde in May. It did so while it was retrograde at the end of May. And this is the last pass as Mercury is moving past the degrees of the station. And Mercury, of course, is very much aligned with the star Aldebaran as it is making this square to Neptune. So bringing in the energy and light codes of that star as well. And I did not write about that part in the celestial timings because I've written about Aldebaran so much, but you can go back and find all the different places where I wrote about Aldebaran, the key to the silver gate, one of the four royal stars that has to do also with our perception and how we see things and what we're thinking about. And so Mercury has to do also with our communication. It has to do with perception and what we're thinking about as well. And what we're thinking about is often what we're communicating. And Neptune is that unbounded place of pure potentiality. Pure consciousness is one way to describe that, or unmanifest, the place of the unmanifest, where things have not yet manifested into form. But it's also, I like to think of it from the Neptune perspective, is that place of pure love. And so when we're tapping into the possibility here, then Neptune is bringing in something for Mercury to tune into, to perceive in a new way and to connect into that place of pure potentiality, pure the purity of things that are before they are manifest into form. And then through our thinking, through the process of what we think, we start bringing things into form. So this is a really powerful alignment. And it is, of course, with any, as with any aspect that we might experience, it's at least a 3-day window. So June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we could be experiencing this aspect. Now, the waxing moon will be entering Libra, and so visible in the night sky, 10:41 p.m. Pacific time. It will have already set, but it'll be very close to that part of the, I think it'll have already set. Maybe it's actually moving towards, I have to think about that for a second. Anyway, if you get to see the crescent moon, it'll be very close to the North Galactic Pole. And that is the place that the September equinox is aligned at this time. And that's part of the how we know we're at the turning of the ages, because the solstices are on the galactic crosses at near galactic center and the galactic edge. And we just had summer solstice, or June solstice, at the galactic edge. And we have the equinoxes at the north and south galactic pole. The September equinoxes at the north galactic pole. So the moon is kind of pointing that out, where that part of the sky is. And it's kind of fun to tune into that. So then we have the Libra first quarter moon following the next day on June 24th. That will be exact. And whenever we have a first quarter moon, it's an acceleration. It's the activation of the intention of conscious equal partnership, how we partner with ourselves, our higher self, the part of us that's our internal self and our external self. And is that in alignment or not? It's a great time to be tuning into that and seeing that first quarter moon that sets probably around midnight was when the first quarter moon would be setting. So definitely you will see the moon with at the galactic pole, at the North Galactic Pole. So there you go. All right, there we go. So Chiron, and also on June 24th, is stationing retrograde, And will be retrograde until November 28th. And it's moving, it's about 21.5 degrees of Pisces when it stations retrograde, moving back to 16 Pisces, 56 minutes. So it's pretty close to 17 degrees of Pisces. So if you have angles, planets, or nodes somewhere between 16 and 22 degrees of Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, or Sagittarius, then you're in a personal Chiron cycle. And I think I mentioned this when Chiron was square the sun earlier in the month. And this is a powerful time because it's now that place of going deep, you know, that retracing the steps. Whenever a planet goes retrograde, it's retracing its steps through the part of the sky it has just gone past. And that's to deepen its connection to those stars and to that part of the sky and to take a deeper look. And with Chiron, it's always about the deeper look into healing. How do we heal? How do we find the ways to get into the place that where any place where we're in separation, any place that we're not feeling connected to the divine and to the divine essence that we are within ourselves. So that can be what's going on. And anybody, again, who's in a personal Chiron cycle, you're going to be feeling this more. But it's definitely also happening in a collective way. And when Chiron's in Pisces, and whenever any planet is actually passing through Pisces, the recommendation is to feel what you feel and not to try to suppress it, but also not to hang on to it. So there's kind of a delicate balance that can happen there. So when we repress our feelings, of course, they're going to come out later, and we'll have to deal with them at another time. And sometimes that's less than elegant. It can be really dramatic and challenging. But sometimes people can use their feelings as a way to manipulate or get sympathy or that kind of thing. So it's learning how to feel what you feel and to really let it go. And to really have compassion for yourself. And that's part of the Chironic healing process. Sometimes people will find they have manifested physical challenges that are needing their attention for healing. And sometimes it's emotional or spiritual or just that sense of who am I really and what am I doing and needing to pay more attention to that as well. So Chiron can really manifest in many different ways, the Chiron cycles. And this might be a really good time to also pay attention to your dreams because part of the healing can come through the dreams that we have. And you can even ask for your dreams to guide you in your healing process, especially while Chiron is retrograde. Powerful time to do that. Mars is going into Cancer also. Lots is happening on this day, on the 24th. So it's going to be right on the galactic cross where the sun just was. And, of course, we still can't see that part of the sky because the sun is there. Every couple of years, Mars crosses this place. The last time was on July 13th of 2013. The time before that was August 3rd, 2011. So it's about every 2 years it's crossing this part. And it's also reaching, Mars is going to be at its greatest declination. So its most extreme, out of bounds, wild card, unpredictable factor. And sitting on the galactic cross today at the galactic edge, it will be interesting to see what may come through in terms of the wild card factor. We've got Chiron stationing retrograde. We've got a first quarter moon, and it's in Libra. And, of course, Mars' journey is to integrate the Libra archetype in a brand new way, how to bring in the new energy, the new insights, something from beyond our galaxy at the galactic edge, something from beyond what we would normally think of as how we engage with relationship and how we relate to ourselves and others and how do we create conscious equal relationship with one another, between the feminine and the masculine, between people and the earth, you know, whatever those relationships may be. So it's powerful, powerful time to be looking at that more deeply and to see what wild card, what new way is coming in for us to tune into. So it'll be interesting to see what manifests around that time. And again, that's another seeding point. So it'll be coming into fruition over time. Vesta will be with the South Node. So if we think of Vesta as the archetype connected most to the priestess, the one who does the sacred ceremonies and honors the land and life as sacred. And in Aries, she's in Aries, she is the warrior priestess who's committed to that fierce commitment to defending and protecting the cosmic order. And if we think about the conjunction to the South Node, that is also connected to the ancient sacred ways, to the ancient ways that we and are connected to the sacred and to how we express that. But also, then, how do we take those ancient ways and bring them into a current modern-day way that works for us now? So it doesn't mean we have to honor the ancient ways and do them in the same way they've always been done, but to honor them and to recognize that there was wisdom there, and then how do we apply that to our current time? It feels like that is supporting Mars, who is on the galactic cross, and Vesta is there to support that, to be that fierce warrior priestess who, as Mars is in the underworld, is experiencing some support from the divine feminine going through this journey. So then on June 25th, the moon will pass by Spica, and that's definitely worth tuning into in the evening sky, that waxing first quarter moon. Look pretty much like it's half full moon going by Spica, the strongest, brightest star of the divine feminine in the Virgin Priestess, in the constellation of Virgin Priestess. And then we will have on June 27th, the moon is going to go into Scorpio. It will pass by the stars of Zubin el-Janubi and Zubin el-Shamali. And by the end of the month, we'll be catching up to Saturn. I'll share about that more in just a moment. June 27th is the time when we have the latest sunset of the year. And again, as I mentioned before, the earliest sunrise and the latest sunset and the average point, or the sort of in-between point where they have the longest day and the longest night, is on June 21st at the solstice. But yet we still have very long days leading up to and leading away from that exact solstice time. On the 27th is the time when the moon is passing through the scales of the stars Zubin el-Janubi and Zubin el-Shamali, weighing the heart with the truth, weighing the heart. So what's in your heart? Weighing what's in your heart with the truth. And if your heart is heavy, what is it that you need to release and let go of so that it can be light? And the Egyptians show that as weighing the heart with against the feather. And the heart needs to be lighter than the feather, or at least as light as the feather. Anyway, so those are the light codes that come in from there. And then on the 28th is when the moon will be with Saturn, and Saturn is retrograde. And this is one of the last few moon-Saturn conjunctions in Scorpio. And you may recall that on June 14th, Saturn returned to Scorpio and will be there until September. So we have a few moon conjunctions. And whenever the moon passes by a planet, it amplifies whatever the intention is of that planet, and it will pass at least once a month. This happens to be because the moon was with Saturn at the beginning of the month. It's with Saturn also at the end of the month. It takes about 27.3 days for the moon to return to a place in the sky, plus Saturn's been going retrograde, backing up, so it actually is probably a little shorter than that amount of time. And then the moon is going to enter Sagittarius, and it will be near the head of the Scorpion. And by the night of June 29th, it will be returning to be with Antares, which is the key to the Golden Gate. And we talked a lot about Aldebaran already, and we've mentioned Antares because that was where the full moon was. And so we have the moon with Antares. And again, 27.3 days for the moon to return to a specific star or a certain point. And that is actually where we get the number 13 in connection to the moon, because 27.3 days divided into a year of 365 days, the closest whole number is 13. And so the moon will pass Antares 13 times a year. or any star that you pick. It could be Regulus, or it could be Spica, whatever star we want to pick. It will pass 13 times each year, but only every third year will there be 13 full moons in a year, or 13 new moons in a year, because the whole, there is 29 and a half days to go from new moon to new moon, or full moon to full moon. So we have the misunderstanding that the sacred number of the moon, that there are 13 full moons a year, and that is not actually true. But 13 times will the moon pass any specific star. And that's definitely worth paying attention to. And then we end the month, and this is a spectacular way to end the month, with Jupiter and Venus with about a third of a degree apart from each other. And Venus is at 20 Leo, and Jupiter's at 21 Leo, so their exact conjunction isn't until July 1st or 2nd. So, but, you know, this brings us all the way back around to talking again about the mysteries of self-love and the divine feminine, just having reclaimed her crown and her connection to the divine, knowing she is divine. She is Queen of Heaven. Venus is the Queen of Heaven. Jupiter is there to bear witness and to support her and to expand that knowing and that experience. And that happened at the solstice on June 21st. Jupiter was very close by to bear witness to Venus regaining her crown when the moon came by. And there's this sort of celebration, it feels like, that's taking place between Jupiter and Venus, a welcoming, if you will, perhaps, by Jupiter of Venus into this return of her knowing, of living, of experiencing at a deep cellular level, at a deep place of conviction within, that we are all divine, and that when we can reclaim our connection to the divine, and we have that direct line into the divine that we are, it changes everything. And so I'm not talking about, and I wrote about this in the timings, I'm not talking about that sense of entitlement, look how cool I am, or I'm so great, from a place of actually not really believing it and so having to say it, but from the place of just living it and knowing it and being that bright point of light on the planet. And as we awaken and remember that we are those bright points of light, we are love and light expressing. And the more that we express our love and light, the more that we know that, the more that we are dreaming into the new earth, into a new way of being, and shifting the consciousness, shifting the reality of how we experience this world, and working in concert and harmony with the earth, loving the earth as well as loving ourselves. So taking time to see Jupiter and Venus, if you have clear skies, is one way to always be in ceremony, to do that with love in your heart, and to just be awed by the beauty of Jupiter and Venus. Jupiter is definitely not as bright. You will see how bright Venus is sitting right next to Jupiter. And yet these are the two brightest planets that we have at this time in the sky. So definitely worth tuning into. And if you have other intentions, and there, of course, oh, the other thing I want to say is they're not too far from Regulus. So it's pretty spectacular. Regulus is both Jupiter and Venus will be passing Regulus over the next few months. Well, actually, Venus will be going retrograde before it gets all the way to Jupiter. I mean, to Regulus. I'm sorry. And Jupiter and Venus are going to come back together again. So this is the seeding. This is the beginning. This is the initiation of the Venus-Jupiter dance. They've been dancing together, but they're going to become even, they're becoming so close, and something powerful can happen with this. And especially when we approach this from the place of how can we show up from the fullest place of love for ourselves and for this life and this reality and what it is we're dreaming into.